Welcome to the Williams Meekin YB Hurtin phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Monty. Got your note?
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Doug.
Want to thank you, Monty, for answering the email so quickly.
You're quite welcome.
I forwarded it on to my daughter. I haven't heard from her yet, but I'll be seeing her tomorrow.
Yidoke. Best of luck.
She's quite open to those kind of things, so it'll be fine, I think.
Great. Let's hope
it works. Whitney. Whitney must be on mute. Either that or she's only on the visual phone. Or her baby's making noises.
Probably taking care of that baby.
Probably.
They're not on a schedule, you know.
Their own.
Is that right?
Hey, Mom.
Good morning, Whitney. Somebody's typing. I hear somebody typing there. I did for a minute.
Oh, that was me. Getting on the WebEx.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Steve. I'm excited for you. Excited for you that you're going to Hawaii.
Yeah, it's sort of a unexpected treat here. Quite nice.
Well, at least you going to Hawaii, both of you, you'll be able to get your vitamin D intakes up.
If you ever go outside.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, won't be in Hawaii very long. Most of the time on the sea, on the cruise, but it'll be interesting. Never done anything like this before, so it will be a new adventure.
Well, while you're gone, is somebody going to be hooking up the recording, or should we announce there was not any recordings while you're gone?
Well, I'm trying to put a little pressure on some of the people that live at my house to push a go, but I don't know whether I will have any success with that.
So, might not be guaranteed.
Yeah, not guaranteed that anything after Friday's call will be going for 2 weeks.
Okay, well, let us announce right now, we will not be having a call until next Monday. So,
okay.
Monday we'll be back again. So,
and we're not having a call on Saturday either, this week.
Oh, Vance isn't? Okay. All right, well, good morning, everybody. I think it is time to say good morning. Good morning. We're not having a happy call today. We're having a yikes call today. It seems like that's the way that things have been moving in the diet world lately. We're going to be visiting with Dr. Blaylock quite a bit. But first I want to say welcome everybody who is on the call. And while I'm doing that, Steve will be happy if I get the chimes out. So will I. Well. Sorry, I just pushed the wrong button. That wasn't my fault. Okay, so good morning and welcome to the Health Style Call with Meekin. And we are all about, if I go up here and see our pictures, we have a slide here that has some pictures and our mission. The Health Style is a mission to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices. It's good to remind ourselves of this every day, that we are wanting to become more mind and body fit, and if we want to do that, we can't just go along with the advertising. And so we have put together a chart, which is on the ybhurtin.com or .biz site, that has 10 points to help as a basic for beginning a health style for wellness with Mecan, and especially those nutritionals that you can see on the chart. So today we are going to, first of all, I'm going to tell you, I had an experience that was kind of interesting. I was trying to order some products from another place where I order things that Mecan doesn't offer, and that I was associated with before. I shall not mention the name, but most of you know what that is. I was going to order my vitamin D, and I'll just look and see what this vitamin E has in it. And it had wheat germ in it, and so it didn't say anything about gluten-free. I went to the vitamin C, and it had carrageenan in it, and so I didn't order any vitamin C. And then I looked at the lecithin, and I had noticed the last time I ordered, I couldn't find organic anywhere in that catalog. And so I didn't order the lecithin from them either. Then it took me a long time to go around and find some other things where I could order these three products that are good for us to have. In this doctor, this November, Dr. Blaylock, I know some of you have Dr. Blaylock's papers that you receive, his report, and this is going to be an advertisement for him, I think, because I think we all need to do that. So I would promote Dr. Blaylock's report. Vitamin E is, these antioxidants primarily protect cell membranes. I'll give you some, these are all good news to begin with. Take 100 milligrams of the, it has tocopherols twice a day and then the tocopherols twice a day with meals. And then vitamin C, you guys all know what vitamin C does, but there's another one that he, protecting us against free radicals, increasing tissue strength, boosts immunity, and protects against exotoxicity. The dose is 1,000 milligrams taken three times a day between meals. I didn't know that part before. And lecithin, I don't know if the lecithin's not on his list here. There is a list in his report that I'm not going to be showing, but I want you to know about because I'm going to tell you the bad things that he's reporting here. But in his report, which is drblaylock.newsmax.com, where you can subscribe, is all about this report is primarily about frankenfoods. Frankenfoods and pesticides, the destroyers of health. And some of the things he has reported with European reports because I don't think that they're doing any studies here because the people who are making the GMO products are very strong and they make them take the things off a computer. Okay, first of all, before I start the genetically modified, there was also a report, and another reason I'm doing this report or the report today on this is because we have now slides and a couple of films that we need to show everyone and let them know that these things are around or about. All the children are going to grow up, and at 40 years old, they're going to end up with Parkinson's or something. We'll have that on the next slide. So this is a concern that most be concerned that almost 40% of the babies are being fed at least some soy-based formula. 25% are mostly fed soy-based formula. It has been estimated that it provides estrogen-like substances that would be equivalent to giving a baby 5 oral contraceptive pills a day. There's a yikes for you. Oh, development of a male type sexual brain depends on circulating specific sex hormones, and this could have a feminizing effect on male babies. Yikes. The effects of GMO soy-based formula is suspected to be harmful by some researchers, but what this study could mean is that babies would be consuming the toxic soy and Roundup contaminants for a much longer period than an adult just starting on GMO foods. Soy formula has also been shown to contain toxic levels of manganese, as well as fluoride and glutamate. That's not good. Combined, these brain and organ toxins could have a number of long long-term harmful effects. Then, the other one that I started to say about Parkinson's disease is because the brain is made up mostly of fatty substances, agrochemicals accumulate and remain in the brain and can easily penetrate into brain cells and glia as microglia and astrocytes. This is where these chemicals do the most harm. Okay, the most important word I think in this, or one of them, is accumulate. As he goes through the rest of his report, he talks about how all of these pesticides and everything accumulate. All these things that GMOs and putting all these things in, they just accumulate until you get cancer or tumors, which are cancerous, or just die. The four worst offenders is causing neurological damage are in causing neurological damage are Roundup. How many of you have used Roundup around your house? Paraquat and Manib, is a fungicide. I haven't heard of that. And Rotenone, all of which are commonly used. Dennis, of course, used all these on that Del Monte orchard where we lived. Studies have shown that these chemicals do the most damage in the substantia nigra, site of damage in Parkinson's disease. That's in the middle of your brain there. They increase free radicals, activate inflammatory microglia, and suppress mitochondria, and lower brain cell glutamate levels. All of these mechanisms are associated with Parkinson's disease and other neurodegenerative diseases. And it sounds like in the report that we are just getting started. Anybody have any comments at this point? Questions? Not that I'm going to be Dr. Blaylock and answer, but okay. On average, 1.1 billion pounds of agricultural chemicals are used annually in the United States and more than 4 billion pounds worldwide. In the U.S., these chemicals are being sprayed over 900,000 farms comprising millions of acres. And all these people, 9 million people come into contact with known neurotoxin chemicals that damage the brain and nerves in the workplace every day, and tens of millions of us live with these chemicals in our own homes. Why? Enough to make you start taking vitamins to protect yourself. Pesticides and herbicides that are stored in homes often end up spilled on the floor, and the fumes can fill the area and come right in your house. So don't store them. Okay. A shocking new study on genetically modified foods. Now, these figures that I have here are older than what I have here. I think. I'm not sure where I got these that are on the screen now, where the toxins found in human and fetal blood are found to be caused by genetically modified food, GM toxins, and 98% of babies in the wombs are found in the babies in the womb. It is now clear that toxins are designed to kill crop pests. This is one that is in the presentation. So, and then, of course, like I said, it adds up. So, you know, and people are just going and buying, including us. We got sweet potatoes now. I don't know if they don't say that they're genetically modified, of course, but they don't say that they are organic. So you don't know. I'm going to have to call, I guess, and see if I can find out. I'm not going to give a history of them. The studies that he's using here are from France, and from Italy, and so they're analyzing the results of the use of pesticides and pesticides in combination. This study exposed animals to doses of Roundup tolerant genetically modified corn using doses from 11% to 33% of the diet. And so they had some corn cultivated with Roundup and then some without Roundup. crops exposed to Roundup retain small amounts in the plant. The dose of Roundup alone was 0.1% of 0.1 part per billion, which is equal to what, this is shocking, which is equal to what is found in groundwater and public drinking water. So if you're drinking public drinking water without a filter, then you're going to be drinking Roundup. They ought to ban that stuff. The control animals were fed a standardized diet free of GMO foods and pesticide residues, whereas the test animals were fed GMO corn either without Roundup or treated with, or else treated with Roundup. This study contains several shocking findings that will have a huge health impact because billions of people are not eating these foods every day. You go to the store and you buy corn on the cob, take it home, you didn't look to see if it was organic, then you have it. If it doesn't say organic, then it generally is going to have GMO. It's going to be GMO type food. And that's true with just about any of it, because if they can say organic, they will. Otherwise it's not. GMO corn dramatically increased early death in males and females. Anybody want to have any comments about the water or anything at this point? How about a yikes? Yeah, Mary Lou.
People get confused too. Sometimes they think if it says natural that they're safe, and natural doesn't mean anything.
Congress decides, or the FDA, or somebody.
Organic. It must say organic. So, okay, that's all I wanted to add.
Oh, that's a really good point. So remember, natural in this situation means irrelevant. That's the way that the food labeling people have allowed people to make people think that natural is safe, and it's not. Even organic is not 100% safe. If it says certified organic, then you know that it's not going to be have pesticides or GMO foods. Okay, so then the result of the study, the animals fed non-GMO food had a 20% to 30% for males, 20% for females, 30% for males death rate before the two-year follow-up. In the whole two-year study, 50% of the males and 70% of the females eating the GMO corn died before the experiment was concluded. That is, they died prematurely. That's quite a contrast.
Ruth?
Yes?
Do you also understand that they are allowed to put the label, maybe like organic if it's only a certain percent? So I guess what the statement you made, that we really need to look for certified organic, then we know that it's 100%. Would that be accurate? Because the government allows them, if they had just a small portion of it being organic. Has anyone else heard that?
I have not, Nancy, and I think that's a good thing to bring out. That boy, I have not even known what I've seen that says certified organic.
Yeah. It's been some time, but I remember them saying that, just because a product labels it as organic does not mean it's thoroughly organic.
I know. I can make a sign that says certified organic, and I can put it out by my garden.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we all need to be in a position where we can have our own place to grow things or find a farmer that you know where you get your food, and that's said frequently. Go ahead.
One other question. In any of his writings, does he offer another solution to kill weeds for people who think they have to have Roundup?
No, he doesn't. He does
I've tried to talk to people who use Roundup, and they said, well, what else are we going to use? Then I don't
know. That's a good exercise program if you use a hoe.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I use a shovel. I think it works better than a hoe. Maybe that's because my weeds are so big. Okay. Okay, so even more terrifying was the fact that animals died not only from eating the highest dose of the GMO corn, they even died eating the lowest dose. Among the male rats and on the 11% GMO diet, the lowest dose, followed until the 17th month, the death rate was 5 times higher than the normal control rats on a regular diet. I know you guys know about that this is a problem, and we've talked about it before, but we've not seen a study that tells how bad it is. And it's, I don't know about you guys, but it's worse than I thought. The first female animal to die did so less than a year after starting the diet and had a huge breast tumor. Females on the 22% GMO diet for 21 months had a death rate 6 times higher than the rats on the normal diet, even without Roundup contamination. That was just GMO. Death in the females was secondary to breast tumors, and in males from liver and kidney damage. This seemed to be consistent, and that the females got breast cancer and the males liver and kidney damage. There were just as many of these tumors in rats eating the lowest dose of GMO corn as the highest. Tumors occurred in females 5 times more often than tumors occurred in males. And more than 20% of the tumors were breast. He said that. The tumors, this is not fun. The tumors were unusual because they were so huge and grew so rapidly. This should terrify everyone who is eating GMO foods. The majority of tumors occurred after 18 months, well beyond the World Health Organization's 90-day limit recommendation for studying product safety. The very first large tumor was seen at 4 months, also beyond the 90-day limit of previous studies. And they don't know exactly how it causes it. Most soybeans are also GMO, and then I had that soybean clip. I just clipped a couple out of the report, snipped. Equal concern was the high incidence of he was talking about the breast cancer. Equal was the high incidence of kidney and liver damage in males that ate GMO diet. Previous studies show that the trace amounts of Roundup cause liver damage to liver cells, including damage to the mitochondria, and these small doses could lead to death of the cells. The concentrations used of Roundup in the study were extremely small, well below the dose considered safe by the EPA. The foods that most people are eating, especially young adults, of these 3 billion crops around the world now genetically engineered, would be soybeans. I didn't make a... corn, honey from Canada, rice, yikes again, potatoes, tomatoes, papayas, zucchini, and yellow squash. This report would make me, if I lived in town, this would be enough to make me move someplace where I could have a garden. A nice big one. Study suggests that at least for GMO corn, which is what they were testing with, the longer a woman eats these products, the greater her risk of developing breast tumors. Equally frightening is finding that the tumors grow incredibly fast from each massive sizes. He must have wanted to repeat that. The damage is first detected around early adulthood, and this is the damage with the men with a kidney toxicity and liver toxicity. A failure of either of these organs leads to rapid death. The damage is first detected around early adulthood and becomes lethal during middle age. According to this study, the older a person gets, the more likely they will suffer from GMO-induced organ damage. What's more, let's say then, I'm skipping over some things, and there are different things about taking smoking cigarettes or using drugs, including over-the-counter drugs, such as ibuprofen and acetaminophen. Thanks, Nancy. Damage the liver and kidneys. And so then that makes the whole risk all the higher. Drinking alcohol regularly or having a diet low in folate and B12, it makes a woman's risk incredibly high. Why are they so damaged? Dangerous. Damage is found to the adrenal glands, heart, and spleen. Anyway, I certainly recommend that you subscribe. The full impact of genetically modifying foods is not known, but what we know so far is terrifying. And then the pesticides. And Dr. Blaylock said he thought that they were, he didn't think that they were real, these people complaining about it. And then he found that a gentleman, quite intelligent gentleman came, and that he was an honest, reasonable guy, and he said he'd been poisoned by pesticides and was attempting to sue one of the manufacturers for his severe neurological disability. But when he examined him, he found he was suffering severe weakness and atrophy in his arms and legs. His hands and feet were numb, and his balance was severely impaired. And so, in short, his neurological injuries were quite real. And he was a farmer. And of course, the farmers are the ones that affect this the very most. But then, of course, when we eat them, we have a problem, too. And he does give the Dirty Dozen list, which we had talked about before. And so that would be in a past report. But the Dirtiest Dozen would be the apples, if you don't peel them. And now notice that these are all the things you don't peel, pretty much. Apples, celery, sweet bell peppers, peaches, strawberries, nectarines, imported, grapes, spinach, lettuce, cucumbers, blueberries, and potatoes. One thing that does get the pesticides off significantly is just be sure that you put some soap or something on. Basic H is what we like to use, and that is from the same company that I was just talking about a while ago, when I was talking about the vitamins that had things in them I didn't want to eat. But Basic H will help you get that off, and maybe other cleaners will too, but I'm not sure about their safety. Detoxification is to a great extent controlled by nutrition. This means that a person can build up resistance to these powerful poisons, and so the stronger we are, our body is, then we have a better chance of resisting it longer, I guess. And so there was, in the young, protective enzymes detoxify systems, and antioxidant systems are not fully developed. In fact, a person, this is about the poisons affecting you varies with the age. So the unborn, infants, and the elderly, the extremes of age, are at greatest risk. And so in the young, these vitamins and things that we have are not working as well for them. Their protective enzymes, their detoxification systems, and antioxidant systems are not fully developed. And in fact, he said, And of course, Dr. Blaylock is a neurosurgeon. A person's nervous system is undergoing development until age 8. The elderly are vulnerable because they have poorly functioning immune system due to aging and often poor nutrition. In addition, their cells are weaker. People with pre-existing diseases are more vulnerable, of course. And exposure to other poisons such as mercury, lead, cadmium, cadmium, engine fumes, we need to have that air purifier in our car, can worsen the effects of pesticide exposure. So all of the pesticides, herbicides, fungicides inflame the brain and spinal cord and can spinal cord, not spinal cord, I've been getting too corny, and can do so for years after just a few exposures, because all of these, again, accumulate, this is where others accumulate in a body and concentrate in various organs. So when two weak carcinogenic pesticides are mixed, it forms a powerful carcinogen. And pesticides can also greatly increase cancer-causing ability of viruses. So, that's probably about enough to digest. Then he has in here, oh, one other thing. Worse yet, researchers found, he's talking about the Parkinson's and the result. Did I show you that page? Agriculture's and Parkinson's disease. That the exotoxicity gradually destroys the neurons in the midbrain, leading to Parkinson's symptoms. And so then he said, LPS, an immune stimulant used in many vaccines, can dramatically increase the pesticide-related damage associated with Parkinson's. And so if you are exposed to LPS, even in utero, as a teeny baby, then later when you're exposed to rotenone, he doesn't say if other pesticides as well, but rotenone is a well-known one, the toxic effect was more than doubled. This means if you had a vaccination as a child and then later were exposed to rotenone, your risk of developing Parkinson's disease would be dramatically higher than if you had not been exposed to vaccines. And then he talks about even in the uterus. That was exposed to this LPS. I mean, he doesn't ever say what LPS is. Does somebody know? That's what's in something that they put in the vaccines help it, the immune system utilize that vaccine better, I guess. But in 40 years, then you'll have Parkinson's disease. There must be something happier or better to end up with here. Okay, here it is. There's a list. I was going to put the list up, but I will just read it because I didn't have time to do that. And that was buffered vitamin C. And in his letter, he tells what these each do. Buffered vitamin C. This is where you must increase your antioxidant protection. In addition, you want to stimulate the detoxification enzymes. Where have we heard that before? Both in the liver and within cells. Here's how to accomplish that. Use buffered vitamin C, natural vitamin E with a mixed tocopherols, vitamin B complex. These things are all the things I take extra. Magnesium citrate or malate. Protects the nervous system. R, lipoic acid. We had some here in Denver, not where neither of us taking it. Regenerates other antioxidants and stimulates the liver. Silymarin, that's an extract of the milk thistle plant. Liver protecting properties. N-acetyl-L-cysteine, NAC, supplies the cells with antioxidant glutathione, which not only protects against free radicals, but also detoxifies many harmful metals. I was particularly interested in that. There's your Brussels sprouts and your broccoli and other cabbage family. This is also a powerful anti-cancer agent. Taurine is also an amino acid. It plays a major role in detoxification and counteracts I better find out about this. Exotoxicity. I don't know that one. That was, he was recommending something, maybe somebody has heard of this one, indole-3-carbinol. Somebody taking that? Or curcuminin? Curcumin? Protecting us against free radicals? Quercetin? We talked about that before, I think. Stimulates detoxification in the liver. And melatonin. Okay, so that was that's the good news on the back page there. So maybe this will be a good thing to discuss at Thanksgiving, that we have this information at least, but to warn your family about this. So happy Thanksgiving. Did you guys all go to sleep?
Oh. No.
Interesting.
No. I'm going to drink. I'll drink shakes tomorrow. I'll smoothies.
I ordered an organic turkey.
Oh, you're going to love that. Have you ever had them before?
Yeah, we've been getting them for a few years.
Oh, yeah. The funny thing is, people don't fall asleep after they eat them.
I'm going to watch for that. Maybe that's because we eat less, because they cost so much more.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd rather pay now than pay later. I don't want to have Parkinson's.
You know, one thing that I did, I get this letter as well, and the one thing that kind of jumped out at me, because I know a lot of, you know, there's, you know, dieting is a big business, and people are all trying to figure out how they can lose weight and how they can lose it the fastest, and we all know that if you lose it really fast, it comes back too, and then it brings more, I think. And one thing that he did say in this is that the pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides accumulate in the tissue, and that's dangerous because if a person loses rapidly, these chemicals will be released into the bloodstream and redistributed to other tissues such as the heart and the brain.
Yeah.
So, you know, slow and steady is really the way to do it.
And detoxifying along the way.
That's right.
You know, another thing, I think it was in here I read that, it's that he said, don't go on a long fast. Was that in here? That we shouldn't have a long fast. We should have 1 day a week of fasting is just as good as a 10 to 7 day fast.
Yeah.
I think it was back here somewhere.
I did read that, and I don't...
It was related to one of the report case studies, I think. Somebody was fasting so long they were getting faint, and he said, you faint and fall and crack your head, and that'll be the end of you. So don't fast for so long. Okay,
I did look up the organic stuff while you were talking on labeling.
Okay.
And I guess I've lost it again.
It disappeared on you.
Nancy was right. It was something about, I think it was 95%. Here it is. What products can wear the USDA organic seal? Any product certified to USDA organic standards is allowed to wear that, but the requirements for 100% organic label... The product contains 100% USDA certified organic ingredients, but that is 95%. Is
100% is 95%?
Yeah, 100%. The product contains 100% USDA certified organic ingredients. Non-organic ingredients are allowed. If processing aids are used during this product, they must be 100% USDA certified as well. So what are the requirements for an organic label? Okay, that was the difference.
100% organic is that it has to be 100%. But an organic label, the product contains at least 95% organic ingredients, and the remaining 5% can be non-organic.
A lot of the labels, thank you, Mary Lou. A lot of the labels, if you look at the labels, it has organic by each of the ingredients. Or so maybe if you look and you see one that's not organic, well, then you'll know if that's likely to be GMO or not. And if they keep doing more and more foods that they make genetically changed.
And they do say that anything, if the product says it's made with organic ingredients, it can't wear the USDA organic seal. And it has to have at least 70% organic ingredients. The other 30% can be non-organic or have non-organic agricultural ingredients. So food products that contain less than 70% organic ingredients do not qualify for any organic label. A product like this may contain any level of organic ingredients, and there's zero restrictions on anything else they put in there. So,
yeah, you have to be careful because they could say this is organic butter or something in this recipe, or some kind of a fragrance, organic fragrance, and then the whole rest of the thing is not.
Right.
So are there three different labels for organic? Then there are 100%, the 95%, and the 70%?
There's the USDA.
Is that the green one?
Oh, I don't know
about that. With the little circle?
I don't know the color. I don't see that.
Oh, well, when I go to the store, I look for that a lot of times.
And then what was the thing when we were looking at our produce, the long digit number with a 9 in front, wasn't that supposed to mean it was organic?
I think that was fancy.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. But is that 100% organic, or is it organic, or is it USDA organic?
That's a good question.
Well, Nancy might know. Nancy, didn't you tell us that?
I'm sorry, I was looking up something else here. What was the last question you had?
There was a number on the product identification number that started with a 9 or not.
Oh, I don't know about that.
On the organic, on our veg?
Donna.
Okay.
Oh, but I was looking up indole 3 carbonyl because the doctor I listened to, Davey, from Dallas, he sells that in his product line, and he talks about it quite a bit. But that is found in high levels, in cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, collard greens, and kale. It is produced by the breakdown of the glucosinolase, and then the other word is glucobrasinolase.
Yeah, that's why I didn't cover that one too much, because I just said, okay, eat your cabbage, family. I think they all do that pretty much, but if you don't eat them, maybe you'd want to get that supplement.
That's interesting, though, that that is a part of, he listed it among the ones that take care of GMO toxicity. Is that correct?
Well, no, these are mostly against the pesticides.
Oh, okay.
But the pesticides, of course, if you have, and you're wanting to detoxify those so that if you got something GMO and you have the pesticides together, then it just at least doubles it, the danger.
And I see that comes from the NOW brand that carry of indole 3 carbonyl.
When I said that I was looking for to see what the each one of the vitamins is. I was trying to buy, which I don't know if everybody was on here at the beginning. I said I was trying to buy some vitamin E, C, and lecithin. And the ones I had been buying, the E had wheat germ in it, so it was not. I assume that wheat germ would not be gluten free. And the vitamin C had carrageenan in it. And that was disappointing. And the lecithin and all the nutritionals are not listed as organic. I couldn't find it, and I think I said once before that I couldn't find anything organic. So I decided to switch. And one of the companies that I was looking at was the Now. And I might have found one of them. I think I bought a Now product from probably vitamins. Well, it was a raw. There was one that's called RAW raw for vitamin E and C. The lecithin, I tried to find organic lecithin was almost next to impossible, and I found one that was a sunflower company or something. And that was all they sold, raw. So there's some things out there online, so you can buy.
Would any of you like to know what probably the most food that you're going to consume for Thanksgiving is probably one of the highest in pesticides?
What, the potatoes?
Nope.
The turkey?
Nope.
Cranberries?
Got it. It's the most highly pesticided item that we're going to have for Thanksgiving, most of us, you know. Well, not me now, but and that's cranberries, and they contain one of the highest levels of a product called Duberson, and it's very, very high.
How do you spell that, Monty?
Yes.
How do you spell that?
I'm here just a minute. Okay, the chemical name is chlorchloripyrifos. Now that's the chemical name. And it is sold though as Durzaban, Durzaban.
That's horrible.
Where did you find this, Monty?
I found it. Where did I find it?
I eat cranberries. I think they're organic, though. I eat them all the time. Yes. Scary.
I'll forward this to you, Ruth.
Okay, thank you.
I think it was from the Healing Gourmet. Is where I think I found it. But it also goes on to talk about a lot of things. It's the chemical name for it, chlorophyllos, whatever it is. They find that a study published in the Diabetics Cure found that people with the highest level of exposure to this pesticide had a 3,700% risk of increased diabetes.
It
also found it in babies that have ADHD, very high. You know, one of the conclusions I've come to, and I'll just kind of wrap it up, you know, for me right now because we're getting late, and that is that, you know, I look at autism and I stop and think, you know, why is the autism rate going the rate that it is, increasing so fast? And I in my mind, it's got to be GMO that's doing it with all the problems that they're finding in tests that they're doing with everything, that unfortunately GMO has been in our food for, in my opinion, many years. We didn't know about it like everything else, but I think that's one of the reasons that autism is becoming so high in babies nowadays is because of basically GMO, and that's my own opinion. The other thing, conclusion is that, you know, when we talk about healthy child, the word really needs to get out because I again believe that, and we know this for a fact, that over 200 pesticides show up in babies' blood after they're born, or 280 or whatever the figure is. But, you know, this message needs to get out. But I take care of my aunt on Tuesdays who had a stroke, and her granddaughter came over the other day, yesterday with a new, Lily, I think, 3 months old, something like that, 4 months old. And I looked at that poor child, and I realized the things we've heard on this call, and realize what you just said today, Ruth, is that they're so small and their immune systems, their nervous systems, everything else is growing, and all the stuff that we put in it. And, you know, it's like, you know, I used to go to the grocery store and buy eggs, and the first thing I always looked at was when it's talked about organic was what are they being fed? And most of them are being fed a vegetarian diet. Vegetarian to me means vegetables and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, to me, that's the way we can still get pesticides and everything else, because probably in a vegetarian diet, one of the highest things they probably consume, or whatever the word is soy. So that's just my comments on what we've talked about today.
And corn, and hopefully they're not being fed GMO corn, but they can't call them organic, I don't think, if they have been fed GMO.
You know, it's almost the point where I don't know how we can avoid a lot of this stuff. But the key is, and you mentioned it earlier in your talk, and that was that these pesticides that we get can accumulate. So the less we can get in our body, because I just feel we're going to get it. If you don't have your own garden, and then there are things in the ground in your garden that the plants absorb, and we won't get into that. But you know, if you don't have your own garden and you're not eating organic type foods or whatever, your chances are that you're getting that stuff in your body. But the key is that we've got the ability as adults to counteract that through our immune system by vitamins and minerals and detoxifying and taking the things that are important that we know work and help us out. But those poor kids, they don't have that.
Well, that's right, and thank you, Monty. And it is a war, and if we're going to help them to be able to fight it, we're going to have to educate people. One thing before we call anybody drops is we are not having a call Thursday or Friday. The next call will be on Monday with Mary Lou, and I'll be here too. The rest of us will probably be here too, but so we have to continue learning, and we have to get out there. We can't just be learning this here and ourselves. We have got to tell the family when we get together. We have got to tell them as much as you can about it, and some of them will probably pick up on it, and probably some of them will go ostrich style, but at least you have to do your part. You cannot not tell people. We have this information. We've got to educate. And so I want to wish all of you a happy, very happy Thanksgiving, happy, healthy food, and good time with your families. And so have a good one, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
Thanks,
Ruth.
Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye, Whitney. Bye.